Well, here we are. Hopefully, things continue on unchallenged this morning in terms of technical difficulty. But let's look at Romans chapter 6. This passage is very common in terms of if you've ever heard of things like the Roman road and whatnot in terms of where we come from in terms of death and then life into Jesus. The end portion of chapter 6, which Noel didn't read for us, but that's where Paul reminds his audience that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And he really, what Paul is doing throughout this passage is reorienting people to the new reality of Jesus' resurrection. And so these first couple of verses, verses 1 and 2, is Paul dealing with an issue that we all seem to have, and his audience would have had as well. And this is the issue of always trying to get around the rules. That was an issue for the Jewish people back then. That was some of the battle that was going on between the Jews and the Gentiles, is trying to get around the rules. The law had been established, and throughout history or throughout their time, the Jewish people were reinterpreting those rules, reinterpreting those laws, and trying to fit within them. And so you had groups like the Pharisees, who Paul once was, very strictly trying to enforce these rules. And then as we see throughout the Gospels, as Jesus interacts with these Pharisees, there's a lot of challenge that's being faced because he's calling them on their rule breaking. They are upholding one set of rules, but living internally by an entirely different set. And so here in these first couple of verses, Paul says, "Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase?" Because the rhetoric or the thought behind that was, well, if Jesus' grace covers all, then we can just live however we want, and his grace will cover us, and his grace will be even greater the more our sin is. But the reality is that sin is great, that we don't need to make it any greater, because it infuses and captures not only us individually, but us as cultures and societies. And so we've seen on the news this week with the whole COVID crisis and some of the shenanigans that have gone on where people are just laughing at the face of the illness and laughing at the face of the possible transmission and ignoring the advice of healthcare professionals about what it means to help flatten the curve or to reduce transmission. And so people are getting around, trying to get around the rules and pretend that they don't exist for them, that they are above the rules. And that happens in families all the time. Because parents will often say, here's, kids, how we want you to behave. And I know this happens in our family a lot. Here's the things that we want you to do. And then the kids try to massage those rules to be adherents of the expectation, but not actually live within the spirit of those expectations. And so Paul says, that is just utter nonsense. We can't add Jesus to our life. We have to follow him. And so what we tend to do as people is want to add Jesus. I can live this way, but I'm just going to add Jesus because his grace will cover me and cover my sin. And what Paul is saying, no, that's utter nonsense. Don't do that. We need to be following him. Paul then goes on in verses 3 to 7 to talk about the new reality in which we're living in. And that is where we find ourselves here today. Not specifically as a gospel context, but when we talk about the new reality of doing church here as a people gathered over the internet to worship together. And this is the new reality that we find ourselves in for now. We don't know when this will end. We don't know when this will change. But we have to live with this in this reality by creating distance between ourselves, so many people working from home. The other side of it is that all the businesses that are collapsing and the destruction that's happening because of this new reality. And so this is the news for us here in Calgary, across Canada, and around the world. The news is that this virus is spreading and is causing a shift in the way that we do things. And what Paul is telling us here in verses 3 to 7 is what really is the good news. This is the reality in which we live. Jesus has died and been resurrected. And the question is, how do we respond? In the face of the COVID epidemic or pandemic, how do we respond? This is news we hear, and how do we respond? What Paul is saying with regards to Jesus' life, death, and resurrection in verses 3 to 7 is, this is good news. We are died with Christ, and we are resurrected with him. If we've been united with him like this in his death, he says in verse 5, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. This is amazing. And so the question before us always is, how do we respond? Are we going to try to tack Jesus on, add him to our as he talked about in verses 1 and 2, where he says, no, not at all. What we need to do is have a radical reorientation to life, to live in the new reality where Jesus has defeated death by being raised from the dead. In verses 8 to 11, Paul goes on talking about the victory that there is in Jesus because he has been raised from the dead. He talks about the unity that we have with Christ, that we're paired with him, that we're united to him, and that unification defeats sin in our own lives, defeats death in our own lives, and raises us to a new way of living, raises us to a new reality where sin doesn't need to have an effect on our lives anymore. This is the good news that Paul was trying to communicate to the churches that he was wanting to visit in Rome. This is the new reality that he wanted them to orient themselves to as they would continue sharing the gospel, both locally within Rome, but also in supporting Paul and his missionary endeavors over to Spain. One of the struggles we have, though, is we don't live within this. One of the struggles they had back then is they didn't live within us. And so we see that later on in the book or in the letter where Paul talks about the battles that are going on between the weak and the strong. And here in chapter 6, Paul is dealing with this theology of what it really means to be a people united with Jesus and ultimately united together. And so he says in verse 11, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Not only are we united with him in his death, but he says we need to count ourselves alive with him in his resurrection, that we are free to live as the people of God. We are free to become all God has created us to be. And that's what he talks about in this final part here in verses 12 to 14, which I want to read the full passage for us again. He starts with one of his favorite words, therefore. This is a word we saw earlier in the year when we talked about chapter 12, but he uses it throughout this letter. Paul says, therefore, in chapter 6, verse 12, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey all of its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. As you'd remember from chapter 12, this very similar language that Paul used there. Therefore, in light of what God has done, you need to offer your lives to him. You need to offer your lives to what it means to be his people. We're going to pause there and we'll come back. Whole sermon? seeing anything on there. It never works. Okay. Who is? So let's do this. Let's just say, let's go live and say, due to technical difficulties, we're going to we'll record something and upload the complete sermon. Thanks for joining us, because it's already after 11, which isn't all that long. But let's just say we've got, instead of doing the herky-jerky thing, we'll say thanks for trying. What? Am I live right now? Oh. All right. Well, you have the inner workings of what's happening here. I think we're running into some computer challenges in terms of the computer's ability to process all the information we're trying to send to it. Maybe we've probably maxed out what the computer and phone can handle for this. But I'm going to just briefly wrap up the sermon here, and then I'm going to invite you to go back in and look at Romans chapter 6. And as families, as groups gathered together, to really contemplate what this looks like for you. What is the next step for you? And so we were talking about needing to offer ourselves as living sacrifices. In the earlier video, if you were able to get that, we've got some mixed reports about whether people could see that or hear that or not, even with the post-production version. But I'm going to jump back into Romans chapter 6, verses 12 to 14. And I just want to mention briefly here, when we look at verses 12 to 14, we see a lot of echoes of where Paul is going in this letter to the churches. So you'll hear a lot of chapter 12 language being used here in chapter 6. And the reason is that this, again, is the framework. This is the theology that he's working on to then tell them in 16, what it means to live. What is the reality, the new orientation that they need to live in light of everything that Jesus has done? And so here in chapter 6, Paul's been telling them that we are united with Christ through faith. Go back to chapters 3, 4, and 5. That's what he's been telling them the whole time. Through faith, in faith, by faith, we are united to Christ. And here in chapter 6, he's saying, in that unity, in that connection to Jesus, we are both die with him and are raised to life in him. That death no longer has its hold on us. That sin no longer has its hold on us. We are raised to an eternal life in Christ Jesus right here, right now as we follow him. And so there's a couple of implications for this, because the first question is, if that's true, why do I keep on sinning? Why am I still tempted? Why do I keep going astray? And Paul would say that's because this is a work that is going on. There's a struggle that's occurring in all of us between our old selves and our new. The old, what Paul used the language is the old life of the flesh versus the new life in the spirit. And so there's a reality that this battle is going on within us. But what he's telling the church here in chapter 6, what he's going to tell them for the rest of the letter, is that despite that battle, despite that sin nature that's still within us, he calls us to live free, to live as those redeemed by Jesus' resurrection, to no longer allow sin to have mastery over ourselves, to continually turn away from sin, and to pursue Jesus with everything we have. Because in Christ's resurrection, we have been set free. And so we don't need to be held back by our old ways of doing things, our old ways of thinking. We can live as new creations right here and right now. And so he concludes this bit, this section of chapter 6. He says, sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. In the resurrection of Jesus, in putting our faith in him, Paul says we are free to live as the righteous body of Christ. And so my invitation to all of us now, both like now in this immediate moment, but now throughout the rest of our lives, is to live as free people. That when we recognize sin, we turn from it, and pursue Jesus. That we don't just add Jesus to our lives and add the concept of life after death to our lives, but that we actually live as people who don't have death to be afraid of. That we actually live as people who don't have sin to worry about. That's the call Paul was giving the church back in the first century. That's the invitation we have as we read God's word this morning, to live as new creation. And so as he begins this section, he says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means, not at all. That's absolutely absurd," he says. He finishes this section by saying, "Instead, live as new creation. Live as ones free from death and free from sin, because that's what Jesus' death and resurrection was all about, to redeem creation from the beginning of time to now, that we might be a new people." And so now, as you continue to gather together, I don't know how much of this is actually going to make it to Facebook Live, but hopefully we've captured all the audio for sure, and that will be uploaded to the website later. But I would invite you now, as families, as individuals, whoever you're gathered with right now, to pray together, to talk about what would it look like to live as new creation people, where we don't have to fear death, and where we don't have to fear sin, but rather we can be bearers of the good news of Jesus Christ. That despite the difficulties we face, despite the pandemic that's going on, despite the economic hardship and crashing that's happening around the world, we are called to be bearers of the good news, that we can live free from death and free from sin, that we can care for one another in our communities, in our families, and in the people that we meet each and every day. And so I'd invite you, church, to stop and to pray together, to stop and to talk together about what that reality would look like right here, right now. May the grace of God be with you as we go forth from this time. I'm not too sure if we're going to be able to get the next video up. We'll see where that goes. But if this is our last word for you today, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. May the love of God surround you and your families as you gather together this afternoon. And may the guidance and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you, leading you as a new people into a new creation to be bearers of the good news that we are free from death and free from sin. Go with the blessing of God. You are his people.